Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. We'd love to stay connected with you by following us on social media at Freedom House OC, as well as our YouTube channel. Let's listen in on today's message.
Well, today I'm excited to continue our series, As You Remain Standing. Let's jump right into the Word of God. Grab your Bibles and your message outline. Actually, today, your message outline is in the double portion booklet that we handed out. Why don't you pick that up as well? I want to go through that. Got an illustration today if you saw this wheelbarrow up here. It's going to be a fun service. You know, how we have a good time teaching the Word. Come on, somebody. Amen, amen. But grab your Bibles and your outline. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19, but before you do turn that, we're handing out this double portion daily devotional journal that we're giving out to our whole church family that I've put together for us to be on this daily devotional during our 21-day fast. And as we begin our 21-day fast today, perhaps you don't know what fasting is. If you walked in for the first time to church, you're like, fast? What is that, fast food? Come on, somebody. That's not intentionally it, although we do need to fast from fast food. Fasting is abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. And we're going to be fasting here as a church what's called the Daniel Fast. And the Daniel Fast is essentially no meats and no sweets. Essentially, you're a vegan. If you're already a vegan, you can eat meat. Just joking. Come on, somebody. But you're a vegan, okay, for 21 days. Now, you can customize the fast how you want. And in that booklet, double portion booklet, there's a fasting covenant that you can write down what you're believing God for. Fasting moves mountains. Jesus said this kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting. There are certain levels of breakthrough that won't happen in our lives until we enter to a place of prayer and fasting. And so I put in the booklet breakdown fasting for you. You can read more about it. And then also make sure to put your prayer on the double portion prayer wall. There's prayer circles. We'll pray and you can put it up there. But today we begin this Daniel fast. And if you had your last meal last night, double cheeseburger, let's go. Come on, in and out. And the reason we're fasting is we're believing God for a double portion, okay? Say this, say, God, I'll take a double. We're asking God for a double portion of His love, a double portion of power, a double portion of anointing, a double portion of purpose. We're asking God for double. Because the truth is, we've asked bartenders for doubles. That didn't change our life. Come on, somebody. Give me a double. And that didn't change your life. You went to In-N-Out and ate a double. That, well, it changed us, but not the way we wanted to. Come on. That didn't change my life. But we're saying is, God, I want a double from you. I want a double from heaven to invade my marriage, invade my mind, invade the strongholds in my heart to bring me breakthrough. And so I pray that you join in with us, fast with us. Let's believe God and let's do this. Amen. Well, this morning, go with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to read verse 15 and 16 and also 19 through 21. And you can follow along here on the screens. I'm reading the NIV version. If you're looking for 1 Kings is before 2 Kings. I know my wife tells me I'm very helpful. She says, you're so helpful. I know, amen. Are you there? What we're about to read here is the story of when Elisha received the double portion. Watch verse 15. The Bible says, then the Lord said to him, this is God speaking to Elijah with a J, and there's Elijah with an S. They're two different dudes here. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, he says, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elijah, watch this here, anoint Elijah, the son of Shaphat from Abel Meholah to succeed you as a prophet. Now jump down to verse 19. So Elijah went from there. God had spoken to him. And the Bible says, and he found Elisha. Notice these are two different guys, Elijah with a J and Elisha with an S. Found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. It was like a drive-by mantle throwing, just threw it on him, okay? Then verse 20, Elijah left his oxen and ran after Elijah, the Bible says. And he says, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied, what have I done to you? 21, so Elijah left him and went back. He took the yoke of the oxen, slaughtered them, burned the plow equipment to cook the meat, and gave it to the people they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Elijah received the mantle, then he followed after Elijah. I want to talk to you today. The title of my message is Where Destiny Begins. Where Destiny Begins. Let's pray one more time. Bow your head. Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts. We bow our heads not in shame, but in reverence and honor unto you. That God, you deserve all the glory and all the praise. That our greatest calling is to please God and to obey you. And today, Father, as we posture our lives to go after the heart of God, I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. That people of God would not hear my voice, but they would hear your voice within the voice. That, Father, you would speak to us, Lord. Build up our faith. Minimize our fears, Lord. And let us become the men and women you have called us to be. A double portion, Lord, is what we're asking for. We want to see you, Father, move in our lives in a greater dimension so we may become the men and women you've called us to be. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone say amen. Would you give God one more hand clap? You may be seated. And just tell your neighbor, say, the best is yet to come. Come on, encourage them for me. Say, the best is yet to come. That's right. It really is. Well, let me start right here. Have you ever had a day where it was just an ordinary day, but it ended in an extraordinary way? Like, you know, maybe you went to a day and you're like, I figure it's going to be a normal day. But by the end of the day, you're like, I had no idea that was going to happen. You know, and you know, you're just kind of like, wow, I don't know all that was going to take place this day. Well, I had one of those days yesterday. Yesterday was my nephew's first birthday. And it was his first birthday. He just turned one, and it was at mom's house. And, you know, mom, she'd get down with home cooking. Come on, somebody. And so she knew we were going to be on this fast. And so she had made, you know, mole and enchiladas and pozole. I mean, she went, I mean, tres leches cake. Come on, somebody. We're just like, it's the cake of heaven. Three milks, cakes, three, because it's like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Anyway, just kidding. But So I was going in. I'm like, man, this is good. I'm going in. I'm like, let's go. I need a fast right now. But anyway, I'm going in. And so then during the birthday party, my brother, who had been wanting to get married, he's going to have a baby. And he's like, you know what? We just want to get married right now. I'm like, man, bro, I'm eating food and watching the Rams beat the Cowboys right now. You know, I'm sorry. I know I lost half the crowd right there. It's all right. And I'm like, you know, what's going on here? And so he's like, I want to get married right now. And I'm like, right now? I'm like, well, yeah, sure. And so my brother Daryl, I'm like, he happened to have his guitar on him in his trunk. And we're like a walking church service. So he got his, come on, somebody. So he had his guitar. I'm like, I guess I'll officiate the wedding. Got my wife. She'll sing. I get, come on. You know? And so they start putting the stuff. My brother don't mind me sharing this because he's like, he wanted the blessing of God. And so, you know, he's like, I just do it right now. I just want to do it right now, man. And so they're engaged. And so we went ahead at my mom's house and the best halftime show ever right there, sponsored by Mama's House, you know? And so we lined them up and we're all, married him and we're all crying. He's crying, everybody crying, you know? And I'm like, I had no idea that that would end up that way and to see 10, 15 year prayers come into fruition. And I just want to encourage somebody, is I believe that this year is going to have some unexpected miracles that you didn't plan that God is going to do in your life. Come on, shout amen. I didn't think that it was going to. Now, why did I say all that? Because in the verses that we just read, context, Elisha, with an S, had that type of day. Because the verses we read, the scripture says that Elisha, with an S, I want to qualify who I'm talking, because there's Elijah with a J, say Elijah with a J, and Elisha with an S, okay? Elisha with an S, the Bible says, was working the plow. That he had, in the verses we read, says that he was working the plow. He was working on his dad's farm. And I know this is a wheelbarrow. Some of you are like, that's not a plow, Pastor. I couldn't find a plow, okay? We just found a wheelbarrow. That's how we can make happen. They don't sell plows at Home Depot, apparently. All right. And so, anyway, so you know, follow along with me. You'll get brownie points in heaven. Praise the Lord. So, you know, he was working the plow. And the Bible says that as he was working the plow, it was just an ordinary day for him. He was working his dad's farm, going through the mundane of life. He was there, you know, just doing what he did. But the scripture reveals to us that while Elisha with an S was doing the ordinary, God was speaking way on another side of town to Elijah with a J about Elisha. And God was speaking to him that he was to anoint him. He was to prepare him for the great destiny that he had. But he had no idea what was going on behind the scenes. And I just want to right here preach for a moment and say that right now, I know that maybe for some of you, life may seem mundane, but can I just tell you that God always works behind the scenes? We serve a God who loves the BTS, hashtag BTS, behind the scenes. Okay, anyway, you know, trying to relate to the young crowd. Stay with me. All right, so behind the scenes, God loves to work to behind the scenes. And so God is speaking to Elijah about Elisha. And I just want to encourage you that just because you don't feel maybe that God has said your name right now doesn't mean that God's not speaking your name to somebody and showing favor over your life in some way when you're just faithful with your life. Say amen. And so Elisha with an S is over here, and God is speaking to Elijah with the J way over here. And God begins to tell Elijah, he says, I want you to anoint this Elisha. I want you to speak life over him. I want him to be the person who's going to do something great with his life. And so come on over if you can. Help me out here, Cody. You know my illustrations here. Go ahead and pick up the plow, wheelbarrow, but we're calling it a plow today. Come on, somebody. He was working it. And Elisha says, I want you to go speak to him, and I want you to go call something out of him that he might not see in himself. Okay? I want you to go. So the scripture says, I want to break down the context here. This is a mantle. The Bible says in verse 19, put up on the screens if you can for media team. Let me preach from the screens here. It says that, 1 Kings 19, so Elijah went from there and says, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. So Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Stop right there. So the Bible says that he threw a cloak. Now, what a cloak represented is it represented a prophetic mantle. So this was a representation of what he carried on the inside. So the mantle that the prophet carried showed that he was a man of God, he was a prophet of the Lord, and that he was set apart. It was an exterior thing to represent an interior thing. Now, what is the mantle in the New Testament? Is we're clothed with Christ. Amen. Jesus is our double portion. But what happens in the context of this text here is the Bible says that Elijah has this prophetic mantle that distinguished him in the Old Testament. And what he did was he did a drive-by mantle throwing. Okay? Elisha with an S was just working the plow, just doing his job, and Elijah with the J just comes up to him and is like, I made it, yes, come on. And just keeps walking. He just throws it on him. Doesn't even say a word. Verse 19 says he just threw it on him. He just threw his cloak on him, and I know that he kept walking because then the Bible says that Elisha with an S ran after him. So that means he just threw it on him. Zip, zip, zip. He just kept walking. And just threw it on him. And what this is a picture. Remember, the Old Testament is a picture of the New Testament. Old Testament, Jesus concealed. New Testament, Jesus revealed. This is a picture of how God often in our lives will put something on us that we don't expect. Have you ever had God just like speak to you or put something on you that you didn't expect? You know, you're just minding your own business. I'm just going to work, getting my Starbucks coffee. If you like that, I like my Keurig. But, you know, I'm going, getting my coffee, or you're going to 7-Eleven, which has good, you know, or you're going over here, and you're just minding your own business, and all of a sudden, God just, bam, hits you with something. That's what happened here. God just put this on Elijah. And God wants to put some things on us. Now, I know you might be thinking right now, well, Pastor, you know, I never really had like God speak to me or something happen. Well, listen, I'll be your Elijah for you. And right now, I'm trying to put something on you from God's word. I'm trying to tell you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm trying to tell you, you are made by God. You were not an accident. Your parents might have said you're an accident, but you were always planned by God, and God has a destiny over your life. And so this here is a picture of people, and we're putting that on our lives. And so God does this, and he shows us this picture, put our lives, and God will do that to every single one of us. God will interrupt your life. Real talk. He'll interrupt your life. In fact, salvation, if I could just kind of use this loosely, is a big interruption on your life. Like, I don't think hardly anyone planned on getting saved. You know, I'm going to get saved right now. That's usually how the story goes. The story usually goes, you were so messed up. Come on, somebody. You were running from God. God got a hold of you. He brought you to your knees. And you finally said, okay, God, I give up. Come on. He's like, I had this plan. Now, obviously, for us, interruption, but God had a plan for us. It comes and evades into your life. That's how it was for me. I remember when I got invited to church, I did not want to go to church. I know some of you always want to go to church. Pray for me. Come on, somebody. I was like, I don't want to go to church. Like, we're going to pick you up for church. And I'm not making this up. I stand on holy ground before the Lord. When I got invited to church, I was not invited. I was forced. They told me, they called me, and they're like, we're going to pick you up for church in 15 minutes. Click, and they hung up the phone. I stand before the Lord. 15 minutes later, the ghetto horn. Come on, we're going to church. I went to church. I was mad sitting in church. I didn't want to be in there. I'm like, man, I don't want to be here. I sat way at the back. And I had never walked into a Christian church, by the way. Okay, so my whole context of church was a little different. I walked in, people were clapping, I saw drums, people were jumping. I'm like, if they pull out snakes, I'm out of here. Okay, I'm like, I don't know what's going on right here. But that day, I remember that I didn't, I had so, I, matter of fact, that night I was supposed to go out and do this and nonsense. That day, I was not planning on receiving Christ. But that day, matter of fact, I was supposed to go. I remember my buddy Eddie Walters, it was his birthday and we had a hotel plan and all that stuff. Come on, somebody. And I was like, when's this preacher going to end? Because, you know, come on, don't judge me. And I was like, and I was sitting in the service and the preacher started preaching. What are you willing to break before God? What are you willing to give your life before God? And then he's like, every head bowed, every eye closed. And I remember I bowed my head and I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, maybe I can still make that party. Come on, somebody. And he's like, if you need Jesus, raise your hand. He's like, raise your hand if you need God in your life. And I'm like, you know what, preacher, pray for me. I need God in my life. And I remember I put my head down and he's like, if you raised your hand, we want you to come down here. I'm like, bro, you didn't say that part. Come on, somebody. You know? I'm going somewhere with this. Some of you might have heard my story before, but I'm going somewhere with this. Remember, I got up and I was going to walk out of that service, and I just felt like this was thrown on my life. Like, I didn't ask for that. Like, why you put it on that me, preacher? Tell me if I die, I'm going to go to hell. Tell me if I don't give to God, I'm going to be sinful. Why you putting it on my life? I remember standing in the, like a little devil, little angel, just run out. Just go to the altar. Go out. And I'm like, you know what? I've done crazier things before. And I went up to the altar, and I said a prayer that day. February 16, 1997, I received Jesus in my heart. And when I said that prayer that day, I remember, I don't know all that I prayed, but I just know I said, okay, God, I receive you. And when I said that prayer after that service, you know, they gave me this little Bible, and that's why we still give out Bibles to this day. And we went out, they took me to In-N-Out, because I guess that's where you go when you get saved, because you're in and out of hell. Come on. Anyway, so In-N-Out. My jokes, I know. And so we went in and out. Then they dropped me off, and I was sitting in my room. Here I was, I had this Bible, and I've never read anything in the Bible, nothing. I've never read the Bible before. I was afraid to read the Bible because friends would tell me crazy things like if you read the Bible, you're going to find out when the world's going to end, and all the nonsense we talk about. And so I was like, I'm not reading that book, you know? And so I've never read it. I thought the book of Job was how to get a job, J-O-B, come on, somebody. Resumes, I don't, you know what I mean? And so I don't know anything about the Bible, nothing. My wife, which was my wife at the time, she was just Maria Villacana, but I put a ring on it. Come on, anyway, so... And so she was like, I remember she would tell me, like, you know, David and Goliath, the story of Jonah and the whale. I'm like, I have no clue what that is, no context, okay? I never paid attention to church. You know, I'm like, I have no idea what that is. And so she was like, you know, anyway, so I got my Bible and I was sitting in my room. It was ungodly. And I remember just having that Bible and I played Bible roulette. Be careful. I just, wherever it lands. And so it landed on Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I remember reading that verse. You can give God a clap. That's all right. God orchestrated it. I remember reading that verse, and I'm like saying, God, you know my friends. God, you know me. God, you know what I've been up to. And I said, God, but if you give me the strength, I'll do it. So I remember that day, I grabbed everything in my room. I put it in a trash bag. I grabbed the weed, smoked it one last time. Just kidding. Come on, somebody. I got to watch all you guys. Flushed it down the toilet. Went to school that Monday. There was no school, but that Tuesday I went to school and I was like, I don't know what's in this book, but I know that God changed my life. I know that God put something on me. I know that I'm not the same person I used to be. I know that I might have a broken father. I might have come from a broken family. I know I've been trying to fill this void with things of the world and that and this and that, but it's only left me more empty. I said, now I have Jesus. That was February 16, 1997. It'll be 22 years this next month that I've given my life to God. And all I can tell you is I'm just a broken vessel who came to a perfect God, who got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I couldn't do it on my own. I am what I am by the grace of God. I just got a mantle put on my life. What am I trying to tell you? God wants to put a mantle on you. Tell your neighbor, he's talking to you. He wants to put a mantle. And so a lot of my life, and I just want to tell you, since the day I got saved, God has always put stuff on me that oftentimes I feel is beyond me. And today I feel that the same thing God is doing, that he wants to put something on you that's beyond you, that you may not see in yourself. But God sees it on you. Because Elisha, back to the text, he may not have saw it himself. All he saw himself was as someone who drove the oxen. But God saw him as a prophet who would change lives. And sometimes we only see ourselves through our profession, not our purpose. God wants to use us, and he wants to see greatness, and God is going to put something on you that's going to be great. They may say, well, Pastor, I've never had someone prophesize over me. No one's ever prophesized over me. Like, no one's ever called me out of the crowd and said, this is your mantle. Okay, let me tell you. You've gotten a great word. We've all received the best word ever. You want to know what his name is? It's Jesus. And if you have the word, you already got a word. You got it from God. And now you got to obey Christ on the inside to become that. You're like, well, I want the preacher to call me out. I wear a prophecy shirt, bright yellow. Pick me. Come on, somebody. You got the word. You got Jesus. Obey that word. And the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? God saved you for a purpose. So we go back to this picture. Elijah, the Bible says, God puts this on him. And what he does is amazing. Because what he does, the Bible says, is that he actually runs after Elisha. And he starts following him to become what's in his life. So there was a choice for Elijah to make. And this picture here is the picture of what I believe is for a lot of us. This picture of Elisha wearing the mantle or the calling for the future while holding on to the past. See? The future is on him, but he's holding on to the past. And this is, I believe, a modern day picture where many of us find ourselves. God put something on our life that we don't see ourselves as yet, and we're still holding on to some stuff. And we cannot follow the great things God has for us until we're willing to let go of the past. See, sometimes we try to follow God with our metaphorical plow or wheelbarrow. Okay, God, I'm coming. God says, no, you can't bring this. You can only bring this. Because I didn't call you to follow me with the junk. I called you to follow me by picking up the cross. Talk to me, somebody. Can I get hashtag real quick? God says, you can't step into the new with holding on to the old. You can't step into the new mantle by holding on to the old things. You can't come in with the old thinking into a new mindset. You got to get a new wineskin, a new mindskin over you. You can't bring those same old friends into a new dimension. You can't bring that same old ex into the next. You can't, oh, I don't know who I'm talking to. You can't bring that same old nonsense into where I'm calling you to. You got to let go of the past to step into your future so that you can become a man with a mantle, a marriage with a mantle, a woman, not just with a man, but with the mantle that God has called you to. Oh, I'm praying that God would rise up a church that doesn't just carry the junk, but carries an authority that comes from heaven and steps into the thing. I feel like I'm helping somebody. Give God a shout of praise in this place. Say amen. Tell your neighbor, say, let go of the trunk. Let go of the junk. Let go of the junk. Come on. Junk in the trunk or junk in the front. Come on, somebody. You got to let it go. Man with the mantle. You got to let it go. I got to say, a lot of times, stuff we try to carry with us is the wrong connections. Okay, the wrong connections. We're holding on to the wrong connections. Can I tell you, your best friends are the people that bring out the best in you. Okay. People that are a friend to your weakness are a trap for your destiny. Trying to help you. If there are friendships that strengthen weaknesses, that is a trap to your destiny. You need to realize that connection is not empowering who I'm called to be. But if there are friendships that strengthen your weaknesses, they are a friend to your destiny. I got two claps, but that's all right. I'm going to still hold on to it, okay? No, Lord, I need to let go. So my question is to you, what is God calling you to let go to respond to this? What is it this year that God's calling? Can I give you a few things really quick? Write this down somewhere on your note sheet, okay? It's not your first point yet. You're like, when are you giving me a point? I'm coming. Some things to let go. Let go of some unforgiveness. Stop waiting for them to say sorry first. Let go. Because I know how we are. Well, they got to say sorry first. I couldn't find that verse in the Bible. Come on, somebody. Forgive them when they say sorry. That's not in the Bible. I read it. Where is it? Maybe in the book of maps? Nope, it's not there either. Come on. Don't say forget. Talk to me, somebody. What is it? Can I give you something else? This year, Maybe it's procrastination you've been trying to carry. You can't take it with you. What is it that is a representation of the old that is holding you back from stepping into the new? Well, what is it? Is it some toxic relationships? Okay. Is it a bad dating relationship? Hey, God's speaking to you. And God speaks very vague, just so you know. I'll get to that in a second, but he speaks very vague. God doesn't give you details. He's a very detailed God, but he won't give you details. Okay? Because some of us are like, oh, God, tell me what's going to happen. Because you know how we are. We say, hey, come over, watch the game. Who's going to be there? I'm inviting you. Who cares? Come on. What are we going to eat? Doesn't matter. Come on. You know? All right, I'll see what's up. What does that mean anyway? I'll see what's up. Like, is it a yes or a no? Because I want to know. I got to buy food, you know? You know how you eat. Come on. Yeah. That's where I'm with God. Well, God says, give me your life. Well, who's going to be there? It don't matter. I'm calling you. Yeah. What are we going to eat? Probably nothing because they're going to go on a fast. Come on, somebody. Amen. Oh, what? Nothing? Oh, I'll see what's up. Come on, somebody. Amen. God's calling you. Okay. God's vague. And he'll just speak words. He'll say things just like, forgive. Yeah, but Lord, let it go.
That's right. Good.
Good. You need to carry the mantle that I've put on you,
yes. That
I'm calling you to. Put it on your life. He's very vague. God loves details, but he'll call you to trust him. Say amen.
Yes.
He's calling you to trust him. I said this in the first service, so I guess I got to say it in the second service. But someone asked me one time, they said, what you went through for open this new building, it took us 2.5 years. Okay, all this stuff, we're going, all kinds of stuff. We were threatened. My life was threatened. We were blackmailed. That's crazy. You start trying to build God's house. I mean, you can build anything, and you don't fight the devil. The devil will help you. You try to start building God's house, all of hell comes after you, okay? Trust me. That's why when you start serving God, you feel the fight, just so you know. Some of you recently got baptized, recently got saved. The reason you feel the battle is because you're now going the opposite direction. Talk to me, somebody. Say amen. Okay, you're not going the same way as the devil anymore. And so now you feel, when we opened this building, someone asked me the question. They said, knowing what you went through, would you do it again? Do you want the Christian answer or the honest? Come on, somebody. Because everybody, oh, yeah. I said, man, I'm going to be honest. I'm real, okay? I said, man, I don't know. That's tough. I said, of course, with the grace of God. But if God calls me to do it, I'll do it. But I said, man, that was tough. God didn't show me all the details. Why does God just show you all the details? Because some of you will run if he did.
Yeah.
So all deal God will give you is a word.
Yep.
Just a word. The Lord said, build me this house. I said, okay, Lord. He didn't tell me all the details. He said, build it. And that's exactly what happened to Elijah. Elijah didn't give him details. He just threw a mantle, drive-by mantle, pow. Like, what's this for? Because God spoke to Elijah, not Elisha. Just, bah. Tell your neighbor, say, bah. No, I'm just, come on, somebody. All right. It's boom. And I know sometimes we're like, well, God, give me the details. God says, no, I want you to trust me. So what does Elisha do? I'm almost done here. We're going to pray for people. I'm leaving some time because I'm going to pray for every single person who wants prayer, by the way. We're not going to force you. Get oil. You know what I mean? Chase you, throwing oil at you. You know what I mean? If we left oil, you're going to slip on the way out. Let's talk about it. Okay. If you want prayer, we're going to pray for you. All right? Okay, we've anointed all your cars. Let me joke. Come on, somebody. Why is my car all oily? Right. Okay, we're anointing everybody with oil, all right? And I left some time to do that. And you guys know our style of teaching. We're not in a rush. If you're looking for a fast food preaching, that's not it. We go into the Word. We take our time. And tell your neighbor, say, I'm a season ticket holder. Come on, somebody. I'm right here. Okay, we journey together. It's a year. I don't try to preach the whole Bible in one sermon. But this whole picture here is a picture of obedience. God, I surrender to you. God, I want to honor you. And when God spoke this over Elijah, okay, Elijah, he wanted Elijah to see something that he couldn't see for himself. But Elijah was required to do one thing, is will you let go and follow? Write this down. Here's your first point. Okay, here we go. After 20 minutes, sorry. Here's your first point. It's a long intro. You don't have to understand fully to obey immediately, okay? See, sometimes we're always trying to understand the details before we obey God in the big picture. But Elisha, this whole picture, and I believe it's for all of us in this room, is which one will he respond to? Will he say, man, get this off my life. I got goals. You know, I got goals. I have plans. I have a 5-year plan. I know what I'm doing. Okay. I got goals. I'm trying to you do this, you know, do this business. Now, I'm not saying you can't carry that and not do your business, but the point I'm making is you got to respond with the person God calls you to be. Say amen. Okay. But Elijah could have been like, get this off my life. Don't be putting that on me, pastor. Don't put that on me for. You know what I mean? Making me wonder if I'm going to fast. I got my kids here, and all of a sudden I'm going to be the bad guy. Don't put that on me, you know? Don't put that on me, I got to pray. Don't put that on me, I got to give my life to God. Why are you putting that on me, pastor? And many of us, we throw it off our shoulders. Elijah had a moment. Is he going to carry the mantle, or is he going to drop the past? And the decision Elijah had here was which one he's respond to. And I believe the same is true for every single one of us as we're going to go on this fast, as we're going to seek God this year with all of our hearts, as we're going to purpose and say, God, we're putting you first. And the same is true. Which one are we going to respond to? Which one are you going to say, God, that's the one I'm going to go after? I'm going to let go of the metaphorical old and hold on to the metaphorical new to become the man, or for you, the woman, or the marriage, or the single person, the college student that stands out, who doesn't always fit in, but you're going to stand out. And you ought to clap when people say, why are you so different? Because I am different. Because I have Christ, and I don't roll that way. I carry something on my life, and I'm not just going to throw it for anyone. Shout amen. Be careful with... Anyway, I'm going to move, stay focused. Okay. Squirrel, just kidding. All right. This is metaphorical. So which one should he let go of? And you know what Elijah did? The Bible says, drop it with both hands. He dropped it. Good morning for some of you who just woke up. We're in the second service. And we just gave you the first point. Amen. He dropped it. Bam. And then the Bible says, this is the Bible, verse 20, put it up there on the screens for me if you can, team. Elijah then left his oxen and ran for his life, Jesus, ran after Elijah, which is proof that this was just a drive-by mantle throwing. Boom. Just threw it on him like I'm throwing on you right now. Just boom, a call of God over your life. Elijah kept walking. The Bible says that Elijah then left his oxen and he ran after Elijah. Here's what I'm asking you this second Sunday of the new year. Are you prepared to run after everything God has for you this year? Are you prepared to say, this year, I'm running after everything God has? I'm not going to walk to it. I'm not going to contemplate it. I'm not going to throw it and procrastinate it. But this year is going to be a different year, because in order for me to get what I've never had, I'm going to do what I've never done. I've chased other things. Some of you have chased position. Some of you have chased gold. Some of you have chased relationships. Some of you have chased a man, a girl. Some of you have chased a car. Some of you have chased your goals. But have you chased after the heart of God? And I'm telling you, if you would run this year for everything God has for you and run from everything that's trying to hold you back, you will receive a double portion of what God has for your life, for your fans, for your future, for your heart, for your mind. Do you want a double portion in this house? Then you're gonna have to run after it. Run. I'm out of here. You can't play with a devil. Say amen. Because you know how we are, like, stop. No. I'm running. Lord, I tried. Stop. No, you ain't trying. No, I don't want to. Come on, somebody. You can. I'm trying. Amen. No. I ain't playing. I'm running from this man. And I got to run to my calling. Because if I don't run after it, some of you, one foot in don't work for you. That's not how you do stuff. You know who you are. Like when you do it, let me see. I don't work for you. Some of you know you just gotta. Which, by the way, next Sunday is Baptism Sunday. Great opportunity to just dump in, jump in. This doesn't work. Let me see. I'm running. Someone say amen. We're gonna anoint you with oil. And I want you to grab that booklet if you can, the double portion booklet we gave you. We have enough time. I want to pray for everybody. In that booklet, there's a fasting covenant. Okay? I want to give you a few seconds to fill that out, what you're believing God for. I want you to write that down for you. You can put your email if you want us to send you some devotionals and things like that. But I want you to write down what you're believing God for. That's for you and the Lord, okay? Because fasting only works when you commit to the Lord. This is what I'm believing for, okay? But I want you to write that down. Take a minute, okay? Grab a pen. It's right there. What you're believing God for. And then every day we're going to be going through these journals on our Facebook Live. You could also jump in with us. Of course, come to church on Wednesdays. We got Revival Wednesdays. Get here early. It's going to be jam-packed. We have parking all through here. Also, you could use the community center public parking. Commonwealth is all public parking. Don't be like, oh, but I have to park far. You park far for the Rams game. Come on, somebody. You didn't argue then. Anyway, all right, praise God. You know the preachers, we got our examples. All right, amen. You park far for Black Friday. Anyway, okay, I'm trying to stay focused. You park far for Disneyland. Anyway, come on, amen. But I want to get a word. So Wednesday's going to be, they're going to be packed. Get here early, all right? But Wednesdays, we're going to release prophetic. We're going to go in. We have Saturday morning prayer meetings from 8 to 9 a.m. We are going all in January. We're going to seek the heart of God, the face of God, to respond to the mantle that God is putting on our hearts. What I believe God is putting on this church, what I believe God is putting on you, what I believe God is putting on your marriage, what God is putting on your single season, your college life, that mantle, say mantle. And I want you to, at some point, obviously the Daniel fast, no meats, no sweets. I mean, if you want to customize your own and say, well, I'm going to fast this, that's cool. Or as my son said, Dad, I'm fasting vegetables this year. I said, that's not how it works. Come on, somebody. Amen. But I appreciate the heart. That's a good heart. But, you know, we're gonna help the man of God. You know what I mean? But put it down there. And then we're going to anoint you with oil. I want to read you these verses. Psalms chapter 23. We're a biblical church, okay? We're not trying to be politically correct. We're biblically correct. Say amen. Psalms 23 and verse 5. The Bible says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Why are we anointing you with oil is to fulfill the scriptures. I want your cup to overflow this year, double portion. I want the blessing of God to be on your life. The Bible says it's going to set a table before your enemies. What does that mean? By this time next year, I promise, if you seek God with all your heart, your haters, people who thought you were finished, you're going to have the last laugh because God's on your side. Say amen. I was anointed. Psalms chapter 65 and verse 11, the Bible says this. It says, you crown the year with your goodness. And your paths, they drip with abundance. And my prayer for you this year, we're not anointing you just for one Sunday, but I'm anointing you as a metaphorical mantle to say the greatness is on your life. And that this year we're going to see that greatness come out. And then next year from glory to glory to glory. But that this journey, that this would be a year that you attended church more than ever before, that you read your Bible more than you ever read before, that you got to know God more than you ever have before. And the Bible says your paths are going to drip with abundance. What does that mean? That means wherever you step in, there's going to be a drip to your life. That when you step into your child's room, a drip of anointing. When you step into the business room, a drip of anointing. When you step into your college campus, a drip of anointing. When you step, come on, into a hospital room, a drip. When you step, wherever you step, there's going to be a drip. You are a walking, dripping, releasing kingdom power, authority, blessing that people are going to want you to be in their life. People are going to want to be your friend. People are going to want to be your client. I'm going to tell you right now, for those that are in business, they're going to say, I want to do business with you. There's just something on you that I like about you. People are going to want to promote you. Companies are going to want to hire you. Matter of fact, companies are going to get better because they got you dripping oil all up in their place. Say amen. Someone tell your neighbor, say, you're going to drip abundance. You're not going to drip brokenness. You're going to drip abundance. So we're going to pray for this. And again, I want to reiterate, we're not just anointing you just for today, but for a journey. Say a journey throughout the year. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We pray you were encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Freedom House OC today. See you next week.